This Sunday is Trinity Sunday, a day in the church year devoted to reminding us who the true God of the Bible is over against the many false concepts and ideas about God that have been held at various times and in various places. The Athanasian Creed, which we use on Trinity Sunday each year, is a confession of the true Christian faith against the errors of those who confounded or rejected the biblical doctrine of the Trinity or of the person of Jesus Christ. Early in the 4th century, a North African pastor named Arius taught that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not true God in the sense of being eternal and equal to the Father, but that he was created or begotten by God the Father at some point before the foundation of the world. Thus, his followers in North Africa and elsewhere did not believe the Son to be eternal or co-equal with the Father, or that Jesus is true God in the same sense as the Father is God. And, sad to say, the errors of Arius, which troubled the true Christian church in the 4th century and afterward, continue to plague churches today, with some denying the Trinity outright, and others introducing subtle errors which make the Son less than or inferior to the Father in some way, and often denying entirely the person of the Holy Spirit. One common misconception of the Trinity, often expressed today, is the ancient heresy of modal monarchianism, that God is one God who comes to us and deals with us in three different ways. Sometimes as a loving heavenly Father, sometimes as a Son of God and our brother, and other times as a gentle and guiding Spirit. A common illustration used is that of water, which sometimes is solid, sometimes liquid, and sometimes steam or vapor. This view holds to the unity of God, but denies the Trinity of persons. The early church responded to the Arian heresies decisively in AD 325 at the Council of Nicaea, which was the first ecumenical council, and they did so with the Creed of Nicaea and again at the Council of Constantinople, the second ecumenical council, in 381, with the Nicene Creed, a statement of faith we still use in our Sunday services today to confess that Jesus is, in fact, not only true man, but also true God with the Father. Thus, in the Nicene Creed, we confess of the Son, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. In the Nicene Creed, we also confess of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And toward the end of the 5th century, another creed was written that further defined the mystery of the Trinity revealed in the Bible. Though credited to Athanasius, a leading 4th century opponent of Arius, the creed itself appears to have come later in the debate because it was written in Latin rather than Greek, the language of Athanasius, and doesn't appear to have been used in the churches until well after the time of Athanasius. The Athanasian Creed declares that its teachings concerning the Holy Trinity and our Lord's incarnation are the Catholic faith. In other words, this is what the true church of all times and in all places has confessed. And more than 15 centuries later, the true church continues to confess these same scriptural truths. The creed also claims that one must hold to this true doctrine to be saved, adding also that those who reject these truths will be condemned eternally. For this reason, we count those who reject this doctrine to be outside the pale of Christianity. And what does the Bible teach about the true God and who He is? Consider first what it says of the God who made us and all things. The Bible, which is God's inspired word, tells us, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." But who is this God of the Bible? Who is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Who is the one who formed all of us in our mother's wombs and gave us life? The Hebrew word Elohim in Genesis 1:1 is the plural form of God and is the name used to describe our Creator. He is also called by the name Jehovah or Yehovah, some pronounce the Hebrew name Yahweh, and it is often translated as Lord with all uppercase letters in our English Bibles. For example, in Genesis 2, verse 4, we read, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God, or Jehovah Elohim, made the earth and the heavens." The Bible further defines God when it says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. Thus we see that all things were created by God the Father through Jesus Christ, who gave us life. God's creation account also tells us that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so we see that the Holy Spirit too was active in the creation of all things. The opening verses of St. John's Gospel tell us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." We learn that the Word, Jesus Christ, identified in verse 14 as God Himself in the flesh and the only begotten Son of the Father, already was in the beginning. Already in the beginning He was and is God. He created all things and is the giver of life, both physical and spiritual. In St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the inspired scriptures say of Christ Jesus that He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. So who is the Creator? Who is the true God? It is God, the God the Scriptures identify for us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Though God is one being, as we read in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," God is also three persons. Thus Jesus' command in Matthew 28 at verse 19, "To go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." This is why the God of the Bible is often called the triune or the three-one God. He is one God and yet three distinct persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. Yet there are not three gods, but one God. The Bible also tells us in 1 John chapter 5 For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Though beyond our ability to comprehend, this is how God has revealed himself to us. It is his account and his word. It is this God who has created all things and has given us life. This is the God Bible-believing Christians worship and serve. It is the God confessed in the ancient creeds of the Church, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed. And any who do not worship and serve this true God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through faith in the Son, do not worship and serve the true God who created us and gave us life, who redeemed us in the Son, and who gives eternal life to all who believe in his name. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 23, "All men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." Jesus also said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. And who is it who provided for our salvation? Who is our Savior? We see from the gospel appointed for today, in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, that the triune God was at work in accomplishing our salvation. The Father sent the Son to redeem us. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Son took on human flesh and blood and was lifted up for us, as John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 say, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Or in 1 John chapter 2, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The Spirit works through the Word and sacraments to regenerate us and bring us to faith and preserve us in faith in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 3, we read, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And baptism is called the washing of water by the Word in Ephesians chapter 5. And also in Titus chapter 3, a washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Therefore, it is the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has both created us and provided us eternal salvation in the Son. He is the God in whom we and all believers place our trust. He is the God we worship and serve, and he is the God we confess and profess today. We pray, O Lord God, our Creator and Redeemer, one God, yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you thanks for revealing yourself and all you have done for us and our salvation in your word. Grant that we trust in you and honor you through faith in the Son and his innocent sufferings and death for us upon the cross. Amen. And now we join in saying the Athanasian Creed and professing our faith. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic or the true Christian faith. Which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, in Trinity and unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal, as there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet, not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say, there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, neither not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity none is before or after other, none is greater or less than another, but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He, therefore, that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking the manhood into God, one altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account for their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the true Catholic, or true Christian faith, which, except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. We join in the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.